And I don't know about you, but I have to admit that there's something that I'm lacking at. It's confession, folks, in front of all of you. I'm not very good with names. Now, I know this is not a good thing when you're a priest, because I see so many numbers of people on a regular basis. The one thing you would hope is that I would remember their names. But when someone tells me that they have a nickname, then for some odd reason, that sticks. And I know this from personal experience, because as most of you might know, my nickname is Moose. I know, there you go. It was given to me back in high school when I was playing football, and the name stuck. And I've had it, believe it or not, ever since. Then I got thinking about, what about other people who maybe have nicknames that we just can't forget? For example, like Honest Abe, Tricky Dick, George W. Likewise, in our gospel today, we have Thomas. Poor Thomas. Doubting Thomas. After the crucifixion, the disciples are all huddled up in the room, overcome with fear. They were hiding behind locked doors because they feared what the Jews might do to them. And then they have this incredible experience where Jesus, newly risen, stands in their midst and says, "Peace be with you." And then he breathed on them. And then they went out as messengers of his gospel. But wait a minute. Thomas wasn't there. I mean, maybe he was the only one brave enough to go out of the room, or maybe he simply drew the short straw. Or maybe he was so devastated by the Lord's death that he simply had to be alone for a while. Whatever. Instead of looking down on him in his moment of doubt, maybe we should cut him some slack. Because I want to remind you of something. Thomas wasn't just the doubter. He had moments when he displayed great courage and faithfulness. In the Gospel of John, when Jesus decided, despite threats of arrest, to go to Bethany to raise Lazarus, only one of the disciples initially supported him, Thomas. At the Last Supper, Jesus assured the disciples that where he was going, they too would go. Once again, it was Thomas who spoke up, seeking directions in case they would get separated. "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Even though Thomas has had two episodes to his credit, we never hear him called heroic Thomas. We never hear anybody call him loyal Thomas. No, to believers throughout the centuries, he is doubting Thomas. In the film Dead Man Walking, Sister Helen Prejean comments on a convicted criminal. "A person is always more than the worst thing they have ever done in their lives." So maybe we should lighten up on Thomas for that low moment. And maybe we should use this as a time to go easy on each other, whatever our offenses might be. I mean, imagine Thomas coming into the room and then being bombarded with the amazement of the other disciples as they try to tell him about their encounter with the risen Christ. But Thomas was suspect. He needed proof. So the risen Lord comes back, shows his wounds to Thomas, and says, "Do not be unbelieving, but believe." And that's when Thomas replies, "My Lord and my God." Jesus then goes on to say, "Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." What Jesus is doing is he's praising future generations. Jesus is praising us for having faith even when we cannot feel the wounds or see the wounds. a demonstration of faith that we'll undertake in just a few minutes when we come to this sacred altar and receive the body of Christ. When you come forward tonight and you hear the words, the body of Christ, respond with faith. Amen. A faith born of a belief that God is right here now in our church. God is right here now in our world. God is right here now in our lives. Such a faith compels us all to respond with, my Lord and my God. Just as Thomas, no longer the doubter, but now the believer, did in that upper room.